We left off on Sunday. We were talking about the machlokes of Rishonim. When you have a bittel of a tarobus of a chad betray, so everything is nothing is nikar l'ayin. So the ma'is halacha says that it's bottle. According to the way we pass the halacha, it's not only bottle midaraisa, it's bottle even midrabanan. But everyone agrees at least it's bottle midaraisa. The question is, if I want to go ahead and eat all the pieces, is that permissible or not? So we have different shittas in Rishonim as to what possible limitations are on eating all the pieces. And we basically presented it as a major question, conceptually, on a level of deraisa, how bittul berov chad betray works. So according to most of the Rishonim, bittul chad betray works the way the Rosh, describes it, that's issa nepach lios heter. And according to the Rosh, that's mat, even on a level of the Rabbanon, everything is totally mut. You can eat all three pieces, mamash v'vas achas. Then we had some Rishonim who started to chisel away. He tells you in the Rashba, maybe one person should eat all three, maybe one person should eat all three together. But conceptually, everybody seemed to agree that at least midaraisa, it says an epoch leos hetter. In contrast, that was the Tosfos written by Basra, who said, I know that bittul berov is basically just a way of dealing with tzveikis. There is no superimposed statement of is an epoch leos hetter. Maybe lach balach, that's true. But by yavish b'yavish, it's not true. Yisr is still oimid lefanein, which is just that the rules of sveikas permit you to rely on the rov. That's what Zrid gave a marshal. He said, just as in the realm of sveikas you can rely on chazakah, but you can't contradict yourself. That was his right from Baba Basra. So too, in the realm of rov, you can't contradict yourself. And therefore, if you're going to sit down and eat both pieces together, so that, or even not together, maybe in vezeh chazeh, maybe, depending on what your definition of contradicting yourself is, that's going to be a problem even on the level of their ISIS. If it's a question of Chaylev and Shuman, you can mamash b'chayv karis for that. So that machlekes harishonim now is going to spill over to a corollary shal as follows. Let's say I took all three pieces and I went ahead and I cooked all three pieces together. And now I want to take some of the food out of this pot. What would Allah be about that? So that's what the Rishonim point out. That all depends. If you hold, you can eat all three pieces. If you hold that, you can mamash make a sandwich, so then you could eat the soup also. I have a little bit of all three pieces in there. That's okay. It's not going to be any worse than making a sandwich of all three pieces. That's why, according to the Rosh, that's going to be heter gomer. What about according to the other Rishonim? The Rishonim will put the brakes on eating the three pieces together, either on love of the rice or on love of the rabbanon. So it's going to be a problem. Again, according to the Tosfos, it'll be a problem the rice, according to Tosfos and the Rosh, maybe it'll be a problem with the rabbanon. But if a mice you hold, you shouldn't eat all three. One person shouldn't eat all three pieces. And once you start cooking them together, that you're asking for trouble, either on the level of the rice or on the level of the rabbanim. So how do we pass get the shaila? It seems to be one big shaila. Do we accept the rush that everything is mutter, even with the rabbanim, or do we accept the rishon, which is loeda, either the rice or the rabbanim? So here you have a little bit of a not really a Stephen Shulchan Aruch, but a little bit of a question that the Ramah raises that. When it comes to eating all three of the pieces, so the Ramah shies away from eating all three of the pieces. The Ramah doesn't like one person to eat all three of the pieces, at least not all together. But when it comes to the three pieces that were cooked together, so then the Ramah writes that the mikra din is really mutter. Maybe we shouldn't do it lechatchila either, but mikra din it's really mutter. Why is that? It's the same shaila. So the pashat dvarim is that the Ramah is only willing to make it when it's costing you a lot. If the three pieces haven't been cooked together, so then we'll tell the guy, eat the... We'll tell the guy, one guy will eat one piece, another guy will eat another piece, another guy will eat another piece, and show it. But once the food is cooked together, so then that's like the equivalent of always eating all three pieces together. So if you're going to invoke the psak, like that you can't eat all three pieces, that's going to be tantamount to throwing all the food into the garbage. So that's the Ramah writes, that if you're really, really stuck, so then Shasat Chak, you can rely on the fact that the Rosh Hashik is the Ikra Din. So the Pasha Dvarim is that we eat and we can really follow the Rosh. It's just that when you have an option to avoid the rush, that we try to avoid the rush.
But Ramah, is this contingent about das? Like,
so that's what, yes, that's what the, that's all assuming that you had, that there was a real bitl that took place. If there was a real bitl that took place, that you only say it's an epochleos heter when there was a bitl that took place. So it's only considered to be a bitl taking place when you had a diyas ataromas. That's the rush writes that.
So if I didn't know that it fell in or anything, and there was no das or that, and then it didn't work?
The bitl was not, doesn't accomplish it, right.
And then so I have to have shishim?
I think so. Then it's like Bach Balach, which Lamaisa we pass given, even the Rosh agrees has to have Shishim in the Rabban. There is another question that seems to also touch on this fundamental question about how Bittul Yavish B'Yavish works. Does Yavish B'Yavish work with Torah's Issan Epech Lios Hefter? There's no Issa left. Or Bittul Yavish B'Yavish is still somehow in the worlds of Sveikas and Roves and Chazokas. That's the question that Shenem raised. Whenever you have a Chad B'Tri Batel, can I just, do I have to do anything, or do I have to symbolically take one piece out and throw it into the garbage? What kind of din is that? Take one piece out and throw it into the garbage. So if you hold it's an epoch leos heter, then the whole thing doesn't make any sense. You have three pieces of heter, you have to throw a piece of heter into the garbage, that doesn't make any sense. But if you hold that bittul of the robe is not really based on an epoch leos heter, it's just based on the fact that you can rely on the odds, then maybe one could say as follows, just as according to some Rishonim, you could rely on the odds, Mikra did, but you can't contradict yourself. So different Rishonim are coming up with different methods of what's called not contradicting yourself. So some Rishonim said you don't contradict yourself by not eating altogether. Some Rishonim said you don't contradict yourself by eating it, even with Vasachas, by the same person. And another Rishonim came with the idea that maybe the way to avoid the contradiction is to symbolically take one piece and say, we'll hope for the best. That we're going to take the one piece and we're going to say, oh, by the way, that one piece, by golly, I lucked out, that was the piece that was a trefa piece. So by throwing out one piece, that minimizes the tata desasre angle, assuming that you will conserve a tata desasre. So that seems to be the theory behind these Rishonim who are saying they're supposed to throw a piece out. Who would the Rishonim who say this? So there's a Rashi that says that. Rashi speaks about the possibility of having to throw something out, even though it's batal, liquid and it's batal. Rashi is afal b'chein, you're supposed to throw it out. So all the Rishonim jump on this, the later Mefarshim all jump on this Rashi and say it seems to be against Mishnayos. The Mishnah speaks about a difference between a tarovus of truma and a tarovus of orla. The din is that min haTorah, everything is chatatre batal. But with the Rabbanan, they added on a lot of chumras, and they said that if you have a little bit of truma that gets mixed up into a lot of chulin, but you still require 100 times. It's a special din midi rabbanon. Most of the Rishonim assume it's only a din rabbanon. Taisus proves it's only a din rabbanon. A special chulin midi rabbanon that you have to have 100 times that amount of truma. Where did they dig up the number 100 from? So who made up the number 100? No, where's the number come from? Why is truma batal b'meya? What? Because Kishem Shatero Kacha Isura, that sometimes the halacha is that you have to be mafish truma 1 in 100. You have to be mafish truma smaiser. Truma gedola, sechit achas, pechas akri. Min haTorah, you just have to be mafish a little bit and shoyin. With the Rabbanan, they were masachin, should be 140, then 3160. But Mikra din, the smallest amount is okay. But truma smaiser, there really is a shia. So the shia for truma smaiser happens to be 100. So since you see that the number 100 is somewhat a significant number, so when the Chachamim are looking around to try to pick some kind of arbitrary number as to what should be the Shia Bitl of a Truma, so they threw the number 100 at you. So then Chazal say that when it comes, what about it comes to things like Orl and Kiliyat Kerem? So Orl and Kiliyat Kerem, 100 is not enough, you need 200. Where in the world did that magic number come from? So the Gemara says that Kishem Shekofel be Surah Kachofel Beteiro. Just as Orla is twice as bad as Truma. Truma is also Yechilim, but it's Mutubana. At least if it's a Noshe Enosho Kilo. If you take Truma and you burn it, that's what's called a Noshe Kilo. A Noshe Kilo is the problem. But if you take Truma and you nene from it, a Zahar is nene from Truma in some way that's not a Noshe Kilo, so that's Mutta. But Orla and Kiliya Kerem are also Midaraisa Bahana. So Kishem Shekafo Bisiru Kachafo Beshiuro. But just as Orla and Kiliya Kerem are more Chomer in terms of amount of things that are also, the action of Achilah is also, the action of Anah is also, so too when Chazal formulated the numbers of Bittul, so they threw the high number, you need 200 times rather than 100 times. So the pashas is that this is all Midrabanan. If the whole din of Truma B'meya, Taisus proves in Masechus Nid is all Midrabanan, so this whole story of oil and Kerem is B'chlau all Midrabanan. So the pashas from is that Minat Midaraisa, everything is Chad B'tir Balta B'yavash B'yavash. But Midrabanan, you have all these high numbers.
Is he talking about when Rashi talking about this with
the Tarovis
and the Lush
altogether? No, we're talking about Min Bimino. We're still talking about Min Bimino. Okay?
Does anyone talk about how
Wait, hang in there. Okay? So the Mishnah says that even though there's a din that Truma is Baltim B'meya, and there's a din that Orla and Kira came with Baltim B'masayim, but there's a little bit of a quirk of a difference between the two. When it comes to Truma, when we say that Truma is batal b'meya, so you have to take a piece and you have to give it to the Kayin. You have to give, let's say, I know for a fact that one apple of Truma fell into 500 apples of Chulin. So it's batal. So we paskin that it's enough to be mutter and finished. So that means that Yisrael could eat all the apples. But still, you have to go ahead and take in one apple. If I know for a fact that one apple fell in, I have to take an apple out and give it to the Kayin. Why do I have to give the apple to the Kayin for? Because the Kayin is getting cheated. This Kohen was sitting there expecting, he was waiting for lunch, he was expecting to get his truma apple, and now he got he's getting gypped out of his truma apple, so therefore the din is, you have to give the apple to the Kohen. And Kain, if it's a tarobis of oila, so you don't have to give it to the Kohen. What are you going to the Kohen for? We take it, throw it to the garbage, throw it to the fire, that doesn't make any sense. So when it comes to tarobis of oila, if it's bottle, it's bottle, finish. It can eat all 5,000 apples, no big deal. But when it comes to truma, there's a special din mishpnei mamana kohen that you have to give it to the kohen. When it comes to the orla, so then there's no need. It doesn't make any sense. We spoke about this din, about this halacha that midrabanan, you have to give a little bit to the kohen because the kohen shouldn't be cheated. So we spoke in terms of lomdus. Is that a din of tarhovas, or is that like a consideration of din mamanas? Does that mean that kozman that you didn't give that apple to the kohen, it's like the tarovas isn't over yet, it's like it's not mutter yet, it's still a shalos of treifas? What do we say? No, the treifas, the yordea part of the shalos is over once you reach the shiur of 100. The fact you have to give the truma to the kohen, that's how finim of it. Who remembers when we spoke about this? That was part of one of the riots by Kamakam Batal and Kohen's Veneer, the Rosh and the Rash about you say that the tarovas is finished at the time of tarovas, or the tarovas is still waiting for the Nesidah Lekai. But Lemaisa, the Lomdus says, Lemaisa, that's the din. That the Mishnah says, Beferish, there's a split between oil on the one hand where you don't have to do this, and Truma on the other hand when you do have to do this. So everybody jumps in Rashi. Rashi says, Beginim Sechas Beitza, that even by oil, when we say that oil is Ola B'Masayim, so Ola B'Masayim means you take one apple out and you throw it into the fire, you throw it into the garbage. But the Mishnah is Beferish not the way. The Mishnah is Beferish, that's only a din by Truma, Mishum Hefsek Kohen, and that has nothing to do with Orla. And those who showed him, who extended to Isurim, to Nevelis and Trefas, if you have a piece of Nevelis gets mixed in with a bunch of pieces of kosher, you have to take one and some balkli, throw into the garbage, it's against the Mishnah. The Mishnah is a favorite, it's only Mishum Hefsek Mamon Shul Kohen. There's nothing to do with Orla, nothing to do by extension by Nevelis and Trefas. So what's the answer to this Rashi? So it's usually assumed that the answer to Rashi is as follows. But this is a throwback to the difference between the tarovis of Yavish B'Yavish in contrast to a tarovis of Lach B'Lach. We spoke about it a little bit on Sunday, and we started off today about conceptually how do you understand tarovis? Is tarovis work based on the rules of Issa Nepach Liosatur? Is tarovis work based on some kind of rules in terms of playing the odds, playing the game of Sveikis? Even those who say that tarovis of Yavish B'Yavish is only like Mitam Sofek, like the Tesis Rid, even he's going to have to concede that a tarovus of lach balach is not that way. A tarovus of lach balach of vada and vada is issa nepach liosetra. Otherwise, the whole Tosfos Rit falls by the way. So Tosfos Rit said that midaraisa, you can't eat all the pieces. If you eat all the pieces, you chayav kares. By a tarovus of lach balach, you're always eating everything. That's exactly what lach balach is. Everything is all mixed together. Everything's all mixed up together. And we're still letting you eat it. So how in the world, according to Tosfos Rit, can we understand the ABCs of tarovus of lach balach? A little chazer. Chaza soup, it's mixed into my kosher soup. So the Tosfos Rid would say, no, you can't eat the whole thing. You can't eat the whole thing. By every spoonful, you're having a little bit of some of the chaza. It's all bubbled together. So the answer is obviously Tosfos Rid agrees that Tarovus of Lach Balach is for sure Bitaras is an epoch liosatur. The only point that he's disagreeing with the Rosh and the other Rishonim is by Tarovus Yavish B'Yavish. And we've said this over many times this year, that conceptually Lach Balach is really a much, much better kind of a Tarovus. Because by Tarovus Lach Balach, there's a physical change. The Dover Osir is Balul. You can't even point to it. Not only can you not point to it, it's not much on here anymore. Tarovus Yavish B'Yavish, it qualifies as a Tarovus because it's not Nikra Issa. Because I took the wrappers off, so I don't know which is the trade of salami. But it's still Lami B'Mkaimai. There was never real a Balila together. So that's the Kudus HaMachalik is written in the Rush. But by Lach Balach Avada Avada, it's his Epoch Yosata. So that's what the Mepharshim explained. That's what some of Rashi is driving at. When Rashi said that you have to take a piece of orla and symbolically throw it into the garbage, you have to take a piece of nevela. You know, somebody showed him and said, "After symbolically throw it into the garbage." Ramah quotes a kashita. You have to take a symbolic piece of nevela out of this whole mixture and throw it into the garbage. That chumrah only makes sense by yavish b'yavish. Nobody would say such a silly thing by lach balach. It's a little bit of a chaza soup fell into my kosher soup. So I'm going to take an ounce of soup and throw it to the garbage. What's that going to accomplish? I can't separate. Well, I can't turn around and say with a straight face by throwing out an ounce. A sisi gichosh as we saw. I was yaitzi already. I got rid of all the chazu. Only tzonos is that chazu from osmosis. It spread throughout the soup. So symbolically throwing out an ounce is lamal of lamayrid. So but the din is that it's bottle. So yeah, it's bottle because it's an epach liosheter by lach plach for sure. It's an epach liosheter. So when did Rashi even dream of saying the after Sambalach, if you want a piece of orla, that's only by tarobus of apples, by tarobus of grapes, tarobus when it's a yavish b'yavish. But if you have a tarobus of orla wine that gets mixed into kosher wine, if it's bottled by Masayim, so it's bottled by Masayim, a bottle is going to be mutter. There's no need to throw anything out. You don't accomplish anything by throwing anything out. So that's what Rashi learns when the Mishnah says there's a difference between a tarobus of truma in contrast to a tarobus of oil and kinyan kerem. What that means is like this. That if you have a tarobus of lach balach, where your daya indicates that there's no reason to throw out anything, you don't accomplish anything by throwing anything out, that's where the Mishnah begins to say, but by the way, Chayshem Mishpah, Hilchas Matnas Kuna, requires of you to throw out, not to throw out literally, but to give to the Kohen, Mishum Hapsed Mamashur Kohen. So the Mishnah happens to be talking about, Mishnah's highlighting a difference between oil and Kilo Kerem on the one hand, and Truma on the other hand. The Mishnah is talking about in the world of Lach Balach. In the world of Lach Balach, Taka, there's no reason in your day to discard anything. But after Bichain, that's the Takonas Chachamim, Mishum Hapsed Mamashur Kohen, you have to give a little drop to the Kohen. You have to figure out one ounce of wine fell into 200 ounces of kosher wine. So by oil and kilo kerem, you don't have to bother doing anything because there's no mammon kohen anyway. You're not saving him any money. But by truma, you have to symbolically take out an ounce and give it to the kohen. People say mammon have some mammon kohen. But lo yitzu, it would have been a yavish b'yavish. So Rashi holds, if it would have been a yavish b'yavish, it wouldn't have been a difference. It would have been the exact same thing. We would have insisted that you give part to the kohen, and we would have equally insisted that you discard some, because Hilchos Tarovis dictates a yavish b'yavish that you have to discard some. That's the only way l'chora to defend Rashi. The Mishnah is talking about lach palach, and Rashi is talking about the yavish b'yavish. So this is part of our list. This should be like one of the final questions of the year. What is just to highlight the differences between yavish b'yavish and lach palach? So we've seen this idea so many times that a tarovis of lach palach is much, much better than a tarovis yavish b'yavish. Who remembers? How many places do we see this? That lach palach is significantly better conceptual tarovis. Besides this Rashi, we saw it by what? Right, we saw it by the Nei Behuda, by Eim Avatnas L'Chachila, but the Nei Behuda thought that even if you hold that Eim Avatnas L'Chachila is only Nisad the Rabbanon, maybe that's only by lach palach, not by Yavish B'Yavish. That was his suggestion. Right, where else we see it? What? No, that was the kasha to this. That was the kasha. Where else? By what? By Chalitza. Oh, by Chalitza, right. The Mordechai asked his Mechudosh Akasha, why don't we say that the dam, why don't we say that the rope was buckled in the dam? So we asked Akasha, what was the Akasha in the first place? So what happened to Tuba Kaman, to Issa Dami? One of the answers that we quote from the Mari Korkas was that the only time you say Tuba Kaman, to Issa Dami, that's only by a Tarobas of Yavish B'Yavish. By Tarobas of Lach Balach, you don't even say Tuba Kaman, to Issa Dami. Right, that was one. That was another one. Who remembers? Anywhere else? Mm-hmm. Where else do we find that a lach balach is a better tarevis? Get it by the Ramah, by Chayz V'Ner, by Chomus V'Pesach, right? The Ramah says that there's machoikis that we showed him whether if you have a tarevis on Erev Pesach or a week before Pesach, and so we declare that it's bottle. And now Pesach comes. Once we declare Pesach comes, we should say Chayz V'Ner. So some Yisharim said, Tachi, you do say Chayz V'Ner, others say, you don't say Chayz V'Ner. So the Ramah had a little bit of a pshara. So what was the pshara? The Ramah says that if it's by Yavish, if it's by lach balach, then you don't say Chayz V'Ner. And that's what we all assume. All the baking of the matzahs are assuming that way. Because you bake matzahs a month before Pesach, and a little bit of dough got mixed in, so that's all lach balach. Because once things are mixed together, even though it's solid, solid doesn't really mean solid, but once it's mixed together, it's all baked together, that's considered to be like a lach balach. So the Ramah said that any tarovas that happened before Pesach is nishkefelach, it's part of the shishim. If you would have had, let's say, three matzahs, two of them are pesach matzah, one of them chametz matzah, got mixed up together, so we would have said before Pesach, oh, okay, it's bottle Barov, and then Kup Pesach, we would have to turn around and say, nope, not bottle Barov anymore, it's Chayz V'Neir. You just told me a minute ago you don't say Chayz V'Neir. So the answer is, no, that's Chayz V'Neir of Lach Balach, that's not a Chayz V'Neir of Yavish B'Yavish, they're different. This has nothing to do with the regular Chayz V'Neir. Regular Chayz V'Neir means that you threw more food into it. It's a whole different story. So again, so we have a few different places in Halacha where we've seen this idea that Lach Balach is a better Tarayvis, and conceptually, Midaraisa, it's better because everybody agrees it's it's an epoch liyoseter. By yavish, it's subject to a debate whether midiraisa that's true, midirabanan it's true, maybe some in the middle. Those are the different shittas that we spoke about. And the mocho that contradicted this whole idea was Rabbi Natan by Rabbi Yehuda Shita. Rabbi Natan said that even Rabbi Yehuda, who's the biggest machmir in a bottle, that's only balach mach b'yavish b'yavish. That's not really a stira to this, because there's exerce kosher. That's dam par dam asar. You can't just get a cashews with dam par dam asar. Okay, look. So up until now, we've been talking, this whole Siman Kuf Tes, we've been talking about tarozas of yavish b'yavish. And with the rice, everything is a mikra din batul derov. But now the Rishon begin to discuss what at first glance sounds like a very, very funny shayla. A tarovis of yavish b'yavish. There's no blue, there's no cooking, there's no real mixing. It's tarovis yavish b'yavish. Everything is separate and distinct. But it's min b'she'en amino. What would the din be? If you have a tarovis of yavish b'yavish min b'she'en amino. So first thing you have to do is scratch your head and figure out how do we have that exactly? How do you have a tarovis of min b'she'en amino and yavish b'yavish? It's a steer in terms. If it's Mimish and Amino, so I take a look and I see. It's obviously, I know exactly what's what. So the Achrenim try to explain the Shach, give you a few Akatimses, just how do you have the case. So one possibility is that the pieces are very, very small. Everything's chopped up very, very small. So it's not, nobody cooked it together. It's not a liquid that's all dispersing together. Each piece is distinct, but it's so small that it's hard for me to actually see what's what. That's one possibility. Then the Shach has upset another Akatimse. He says that I have three pieces that are mixed together, and I know one of them is Osir, but what? I don't remember what the Isir is, so even though they're different pieces, so I have a piece of chicken, and a piece of a meat, and an apple, one of them, three pieces, everything is Mimish En Amino, and I know for a fact that there's some Isir here, I just don't remember. Is it a tray for meat that I have a problem? Is it a tray for chicken that I have a problem? Is it an apple of oil that I have a problem? One of these things was trafe. I just can't remember for the life of me which one was trafe. So that's a tarovis of min b'she'eino mino, which is yavish b'yavish. It's a very modern kind of a situation. So nice, what's the din? These kinds of crazy cases, what's the din? So is that considered to follow the rules of min b'mino? And min b'mino, we would say, is b'rov, or do we have some reason to believe that you have to hike this up in the achishim? So some of the Rishonim seem to say the regular rule is Acharam Mahatos. Kol Zman Dei Acharam Mahatos, that carries the day. So why do we ever speak about the requirement of Shishim? Shishim only makes sense when you have a Tarovis, when there's an issue of Tam, because we have an issue of Tam Kikri, the Deraisa Drabbanan. So we really should call the Goy to taste it. And we can't find the Goyim, or we don't believe the Goyim, or we don't use the Goyim today, so we bring in Shishim. But Shishim is always a way to address when you have a Tam here. Over here, you don't have any Tam. Why is there no Tam? Because nothing was cooked. So if everything is still distinct, everything is still solid, no, there's no mixture, there's no nesinas tam, zelazet, so there's no tam. So what are you bringing in shishim for? So that's what some Rishonim seem to say. So other Rishonim say no. Other Rishonim say, you have to bring in shishim. What are you bringing in shishim for? Because even though right now, basho sham, there's no tam, but this can easily become a tarovis of tam. Namely, if you start to cook it up together, it will become a nice in tam. When you have a tarovis of min b'mino, of yavish b'yavish, it's never going to result in the sinas tam. You can cook all the pieces together from today till tomorrow, they all taste the same, so that's not going to be a tam kikah problem, not mid the Torah, not mid the Rabban. So then we can rely on the fact that mid b'mino is batul b'rayv. But when you have something which is mid b'she'en amino, so even though right now it's not nice in tam, it's soon to become nice in tam. So therefore what? So therefore you require shishim. What's the therefore? So that seems to be, that's a further machlokes a poskim. Therefore, it's kind of like a gezeira, it's like a siyag, that we can't possibly paskin up based on rov, because in an hour from now, that's going to end up leading into a big mikshol, because you're going to end up requiring shishim b'deraisa. So right now, we're going to tell you to need shishim b'derabanan. It's a gezeira atu shem yavashna b'yachat. That's what some seem to say. And others say, no, that since the possibility exists of having an asinus tam, this is a different kind of tarovis. This is a tarovis that even midaraisa is not subject to the rules of rov. So l'maisim shulchan aruch we paskin that rov is not going to work for this. You really do require a shishim. It's not 100% clear whether that requirement of shishim before I cook it, if I never get around to, if I cook it, tach I need shishim midaraisa. But if I never get around to cooking it, so does that requirement of shishim that the Sefer Truma speaks of, is that a real requirement of midaraisa, or is that somehow only al-shem asiyag, al-shem asa-lovel, that maybe at some point it's going to become a problem of nesimista? Okay, so again, so the basic yesod of Simukov Tes is the basic klal of Tarovus and Min B'mino, which 99% of the time that's that's going to be, again, assuming that there's no blilas or anything, so mikra din is going to be bottle of the rov. How that plays out, whether that means it can be all the pieces together, the rice, the rabbana, one person, the different people, how that plays out in terms of throwing things out into the garbage, all those different nuances, it all boils down to one fundamental question, just how serious do we take this rush? How committed are we to this principle of issa nefach liyoseh? The rush developed this aside. Those who read disagrees with the Raisa, some Rishonim seem to disagree with it on the level of the Rabbanan, and you have different applications of just how far we have to go to avoid relying on this idea of there should be some kind of attack to the Sasra, whatever the ramifications are.
So Lechatchila, we push it for the Shita Naharim that need 2-1 ratio, or even Lechatchila being
counted? It's hard to say what Lechatchila means. I've never in all my years had a paskin, a chad betray bottle, yavash b'yavash. So if I did, and it presented to me as a 3-2, what would I say? I'd be so excited. I wouldn't know what to say. Okay.
Baltashkes. I have to draw out a piece, but not necessarily this.
I mean, again, according to most of the Rishonim, you don't have to, but according to Rashi, when the Gemara uses the phrase Ola b'Masayim, the Rashi says Ola b'Masayim means you have to take a piece and throw it out. Most of the Rishonim say Ola b'Masayim means it's mutter b'Masayim, you don't have to do anything.
But
Rashi.
So
you want to know what's the din if I'm throwing something out because I want to be cheshish for a das for one sheet in Rishonim, so maybe that's not called Baltashkes. It's not like a destruction of tzarech. The post can discuss that by Kriya. Gemara says that you're not supposed to stop tearing your clothes. It's like it's about tashchas to destroy things. So the post can say, what's the din if a person has a suffix, whether it's chayv in Kriya or not? So it's hard to call it tashchas. I'm not doing it b'derech shulol itself. Tashchas means I take food, I throw it. I stop doing silly things with food. I stop rip my clothing for no reason. That's called tashchas. But if I'm doing it for some real purpose, so then one can argue that that's b'chol not considered to be tashchas. Maybe. Okay, so we move on to Simin Kufyud. So Simin Kufyud is a really, really, really long Simin. We're not going to talk about all of it, because most of it is close. Rekseka. So I think the consensus view was like this. I'm not sure who I spoke about the consensus, but I decided myself. What we're going to try to do is as follows. We're going to try to talk a little bit about Kavua. That's the beginning of Kufyud. And certain, you know, maybe related topics to Kavua. And then we're going to move into the realm a little bit of Rekseka. We're not going to spend a month and a half in Rekseka, because then we're not going to get some of the more maxed things that we still have to do and part of the official syllabus for our course, which we think exists. We're not really sure what the syllabus is, but we're going to take our guesses. So what we're going to try to do is do a little bit of some of the highlights of Simin Kufyud, and then we're going to move, then we're going to break for a Chazorah week and Bechina time, and then sometime after, I assume that'll probably coincide around with Shavuos time, so then June's man starts up again, approximately we'll try to get into Bishalachim until scale to finish things up. Okay, that's pretty much what the game plan is. So we begin with Simin Kufyud. So the first thing we bump into is the famous halach of Kavua. So before we can understand what the word Kavua is, we have to understand what's not Kavua. So this is a throwback to what we spoke about on Sunday, that the Gemara tells us in the beginning of first paragraph of Sefer Shulchan, that there are really three different applications of the principle of Rov. One pasuk, three different dinim, Haram Lahatman. So one is the dinim Ruv D'Isikaman. That's when I can count up all the dayanim in front of me and I see who's who. That's one dinim Rov. Then there's dinim Ruv D'Leisikaman. When I can't count anything, it's just that statistically I figured out based on the way of the world, most women give birth less than 9 months, and most babies are not dropping dead from holes in their hearts. So those kinds of things are Ruba de Leisa commands. Then, of course, you have the third case, and then a bit of Rov. So within the case of Ruba de Leisa command, this is the most famous application of the Maisa Ruba de Leisa command, is the case of Teisha Chanuyos. So you have a situation where there are 10 stores in town, 9 of them selling kosher meat, 1 of them selling trefa meat, and the guy all of a sudden walks by and finds a piece of meat on the floor. So can he assume that that one piece of meat came from the kosher store? So the Gemara says, yeah, that's a bit of Rov. 9 out of 10 are selling kosher, so you can assume that this came from the kosher store. That's called Piresh. So called the Parish Ruba Parish, and you have a right to mid the Raisa for sure to rely on Rov. Whether or not Lechatchila you're allowed to rely on Rov, because there may be another din derabbanan thrown into this equation called Bosash and Salam and Ayin, that's already a different story. But mid the Raisa for sure you can rely on Rov. But then in contrast to this, the Braisa has a very, very strange thing. The Braisa tells us, but what if you didn't find the meat in the middle of the floor? What if it's the same 9 stores, same 10th draper store, but you were your wife sent you to the store that day, and you were very tzimish. You were thinking about your day b'chini, you were thinking about Sechus Ksubis b'chini, and a lot of things on your mind, and you walked into one of the stores, then you walked out. You have no idea. Which store did I walk into? Did I walk into the store that's under the RCBC Hashkacha? Did I walk into the store I'm not complicating any particular hashgacha or any others, but let's say I walk into the store that doesn't have hashgacha on it. I can't remember. It all looks the same. This hamburger, in all 10 stores, they sell the same looking 10 hamburgers, all look the same. So I have no idea which store I went into. So if you would have asked me, I would have said, what's the big deal? It's the same numbers. Anyone who's majoring in math will tell you it's the same 90% chance that in the first case that the hamburger came from the kosher store. It's the same 90% chance that the guy walked into the kosher store. So the Braisa tells you that, don't follow math. The Braisa says, no, the second case is also. Why in the world is the second case also? Because the Gemara says the second case is subject to the rule what's called Ko Kavua Kemechta Amechta Dami. Because unlike the first case, where what we call the latest asafik takes place, it's already away from the treifas. The latest asafik is in the floors, in the street. The piece of meat was found in the street, so it's not anywhere near the stores. So that's called the parish, beruba parish. But in the second case, it wasn't parish. In the second case, the meat wasn't parish. I walked into one of the stores. So each store is still omer bimkomo, which is called the nolad hasafik v'machom hakvius. The suffix is whether I walked into a store, but the store is kavua bimkomo. It's a whole different ballgame, and that's considered to be a suffix deraisa, and you're not allowed to eat that meat mideraisa, because you no longer have a rov, because the kavua trumps rov, and now it's just a regular blipe, the regular suffix is a deraisa. That's what the Gemara says. Where in the world the Chazal figured this out from? So the Gemara, actually, in the end of the first part of Ksubis, gives you a pasuk, the Arav Lov, Kamal, are very, very complicated, and a million years I wouldn't have figured this out, but Chazal figured it out. So that's the din. It's a din deraisa, that kol kavua kemechta mechta. The Dami and the Gemara proves to you from different Mishnahs, different sources that it works. Bein lekula, bein lechumra. The Gemara has it in Tumah v'Tahara. The Gemara has it in Nisa v'Heter, and it's in Din Nefashos. And kol tarkula permeates kol tarkula. There's a din called kol kavua kemechta mechta dami. Just as an aside, we're going to hopefully talk about this later on. We talk about sveikas and sveikas, but this din of kol kavua kemechta mechta dami seems to be very difficult because it's clear from the Gemara that it presents a problem on a level deraisa. But it only creates a suffix with the rice. And it means kol kavua undermines the rov. You can't apply rov when you have a kavua. So there's no rov. Zolzayin, there's no rov. So it's a 50-50. But Yaduah Meforsam, the famous Shitas Harambam, Machlokes the Rambam and the Rashba, about whether sveikas are rasam in the rice or not. The Rambam holds in Luchos Avos Atumas that all sveikas are mutam in the Torah. Suffix chaz is mutar. According to the Pashta Dvarim in the Rambam, suffix chel is mutar. Suffix everything is mutar. There's one day in the Rambam, there's one gears in the Rambam that maybe Yisrael Karis are different. But we're not even talking about Yisrael Karis. We're talking about Lavin. It's selling treifa meat. It's selling the veils of treifas. So according to the Rambam, all sveikas are mutam in the Torah anyway. If you would ask Moshe Rabbeinu, if I find the piece of meat and it's a 50-50 chance where it came from, the Rambam would say it's anyway it's mutar to eat min haTorah. The whole sveik of the Rabbanan, it's a whole sveik of the rice and chumah is only chumah min haRabbanan. So according to the Rambam, what's that kavua? I mean, kol kavua kemechta mechta dami. So we treat it, it's a 50-50 chance, a pi halacha, that you walked into the treifa store. It should still be mutar, because kol kavua kemechta mechta wiped the sofik, but sveik is a mutar anyway according to the Rambam. According to the Rashba, this is great, because the Rashba, the Ran, all the Rishonim will disagree with the Rambam, who say that all sveikas are also mit deraisa, so then this is fantastic. Kol kavua is the suffix deraisa. So according to the Rambam, what's going on? So you have to say that even the Rambam agrees that the buck stops here, even the Rambam agrees that not all sveikas are mutta min haTorah. There is a difference between what's called ikva isura versus lo ikva isura. Because the Rambam said, if I find a piece of meat, I'm in the middle of nowhere, I'm going to a desert island, I find a piece of meat, and the statistics are, there's a 50-50 chance whether this meat is kosher or not. So the Rambam says, min haTorah, you're allowed to eat the meat. The whole chumrah of sveikat rabbanan, the chumrah is only a chumrah mid rabbanan. But that's only true because I have no knowledge of any issur around. It's just my pure suffix in and of itself. It's called loik v'yisura. But what if you have what's called ik v'yisura? What if, let's say, I have two pieces of meat on the table, and I know for a fact one is chaz and one is not. I know for absolute certainty, one's kosher, one's treif. I just have no way of knowing which is which. So that's a whole different kind of a suffix. That's called ikva isura. And even the Rambam would agree that that's an issa deraisa. How do you know that? That's a pasuk in Chumash. The Torah says in Parshas Vayikra, there's a parasha called Ashim Toloi. Ashim Toloi means that I have a suffix whether I ate chaylev or not. I have a suffix whether I ate chometz and pesach or not. So I have to bring a korban. What do you have to bring a korban? According to the Rambam, was mutter. If you have two pieces of meat in front of you and you've asked Moshe Rabbeinu, can I eat it? He would have said, you can eat one of them, because all sveikas are mutter. So the answer is no, that the Rambam agrees that when you have ikva isura, when you have two chatichas in front of you, it's what's called base chatichas, and you have a suffix, which is the chatichas ha'isar, that even the Rambam agrees is going to be deraisa. So the Rambam holds that the parash of Hashem Toloi was only said when you have a suffix with base chatichas. I have two pieces of meat in front of me, one's chelev, one's shuman. I have no idea which is which. I eat one by mistake. That's when you bring in Hashem Toloi, because that's an issa deraisa. But in Ochanami, if I have one piece of meat on the table, I have no idea what it is, and I ate it, now I'm suffering, I have no idea what it was. So then even the Rambam would say, Tata, don't bring a carbon for that, because it's not awesome at the Raisa. So even the Rambam must buy into this idea. Not everyone agrees to this, but I'm telling this to you now. Even the Rambam must buy into this idea that whenever you have an Isser Bimkomo, there's some kind of an Isser around, it's not just a theoretical suffix, but there's a Dover also that's staring you in the face. I'm just not sure whether the one I partook of was the Isser. Even the Rambam agrees that's also min HaTorah. So that's what every Kavua is. Every Kavua means that you can't ignore the trade for store. You think you have a Rove, it's Nishkin Rove. Kavua just undermines the statistics. So it's no longer, it's a 50-50. But not only is it a 50-50, it's not a 50-50 in theory. It's a 50-50 in practice. It's a 50-50 of a Dover Asar Kavua from Kaimo. It's like sitting on the table in front of you. So that becomes a much higher suffix that even the Rambam has to miss Yachis to. So at the end of the day, there is a din of kavua. It's a din deraisa, a hundaf from sukkim. Even the Rambam buys into it. So for sure, there's a din of kavua. So now comes the famous Gemara, Chulin, Tzachim, and highlights the difference between parish and kavua. So called the parish meruba parish, when the piece of meat ended up on the floor. It's in the middle of the street. It's not in the stores anymore. In contrast, when I walked into the stores, that becomes a problem. So comes the Gemara in Maseches Pesachim and Daf Tes and begins to apply this principle of Kavua versus Parush into other areas of Halacha, particularly in the realm of Chametz. It was a famous sugyas on Daf Tes and Daf Yud, there were all the wild Achbar sugyas in Maseches Pesachim about a guy has a house, some of his houses he checked, some of his houses he didn't check. The Achbar comes, the mouse comes, runs from there, takes him the Chametz Bar, the Matzah Bar, that labor-dick story, trying to figure out whether we have Chametz and Matzah. And so finally, in the middle of this whole story, so the Gemara presents different cases. The Gemara presents one case that I have 10 piles of food in front of me, 9 of them are Matzah, and one of them is a Chametz. So either it's a very stale piece of chametz or a very soft piece of matzah. I can't tell the difference, okay? So I have, I know for a fact that 9 of them are kosher, 9 of them are matzah, 1 of them is chametz. And all of a sudden I see a mouse run over to the piles, and the mouse comes and takes out of one of the piles. I lost track which is the pile, but I know it's 9 to 1, and the mouse, I'm washing the mouse. So he's running, he takes a piece of food in his mouth, and then he comes back. And now he drops that piece of food here. So I'm a little hungry, I want to eat that piece of food on Pesach. So I want to know, can I assume that that came from the 9 kosher piles, the 9 kosher Pesach piles, or did that come from the 1 chametz pile? So the Gemara says, so hainu kavua. The Gemara says, that's an example of kavua. So the Tosfos on the spot asks, what do you mean kavua? Why is that kavua? What's that kavua? Kavua means when I went into the store, and I'm not sure which store I bought from. Over here, I didn't go anywhere. I'm watching the whole thing. So by the time the mouse comes out, I'm watching the mouse, and now I have the piece of cracker in front of me, and I'm trying to figure out, is this kosher or not? Is this chametz or is this matzah? So why isn't that like the guy who finds the piece of the hamburger in the street? What's the difference? So Tosfos is right, there's a big difference, because it was piresh lefaneinu. I was watching the mouse. In Ochanami. If I wouldn't have been watching the mouse, I wouldn't sit in my house. I'm sitting and learning. And all of a sudden, I come outside to where all my piles of chametz and matzah are. And I see a mouse standing in the middle, and he's got a cracker in his mouth. And I have no idea whether it's the kosher, the pesach cracker, or the chametz cracker. So that would taka be pirish. That's exactly what pirish is. But since I watched the mouse, so that's called pirish lefaneinu. So I'm seeing this whole drama unravel in front of me. That's called pirish lefaneinu. Whenever it's pirish lefaneinu, so that's tantamount to nichmas lesocha chanus, nichmas letoch bachba kavua. So that's clear for the Gemara that equation is true. So what's not 100% clear is that equation true midaraisa, or is that equation true midarabanan? So in Shulchan Aruch, in the Sar Shulchan Aruch, they talk about this. Is this 100% true? This equation is 100% true midaraisa, that pirish lefaneinu is mamash like you walking into the house? Or no, that pirish lefaneinu really midatayra is not kavua, just midaraban. It looks too close to kavua, so therefore they were machmer on this. So again, so that's a shaila in the poskim. But Akol Palim, there's for sure Kavod Deraisa. That's no question. When I walk into the stores, for sure that's Kavod Deraisa. And this is at least Kavod Mideraban, or maybe it's Kavod even Mideraisa. There is a third type of application of Kavua, which, at least according to Tosfos, is for sure only Kavod Mideraban. That's the Gemara in the end of Masechet Zvachim. One of the famous sugyas in Simen Kuf Yud revolves around the beginning, the mission of Perekat HaRevis. Perekat doesn't exist. Perekat calls Vach Shel Esarvu. So the Mishnah talks about if you have an animal that's asav hanah. Why is the animal asav hanah? either because it's one chatas amesis, one of the five chatas says Allah Muslim has to be put to death, or it's a shohanisko, which may not be asbano, depending on what you think about the time, but whatever, not for now. Mamaisa, the Mishnah describes the tarovis of one of these animals, and it gets mixed up into 1,000 animals. So now the guy's, this farmer's a real loser. He's got 1,000 animals, and one mukapoop shore, that's a shohanisko, gets mixed into all the animals. He has no idea, he can't tell one from the other. So what does he do? So the Mishnah has a serious problem. You gotta get rid of all them. They're all also, you can never use any of them. So the Gemara says, why can't you use any of them? What's the problem? What happened to Bito? So the Gemara gives a whole story for two blot in the end. There's Malchim trying to figure out why Bito doesn't apply here. So at one point the Gemara goes down the route of Davar Chashuv and down other routes. We spoke about this Gemara. Who remembers where? Where did we talk about this Gemara? By Chaticha Rulis Kabet. This was one of the riyas. How come the Gemara doesn't call the animal Chaticha Rulis Kabet? What was the answer? You're not going to serve a whole animal to a person, especially when it's alive. So some Rishonim said, right, that was the rush, right? We spoke with the rush in Iran about where do you draw the line, what's called the Chaticha Rulis Kabet. So finally, in the middle of this whole story, so the Gemara says that Bittul doesn't work because it's a Balchayim, and Balchayim are, generally speaking, not Balch. Fine. So then the Gemara starts to talk about another kasha. The Gemara says, forget about Bittul. So we gave up on Bittul. Why don't you say that it's a problem? Why don't you say what? Why don't you say that it's that you follow Rove? The Gemara says, why can't you just walk over to the animals and take one of the animals away and say that, well, this animal that I just took away is what? Is called the Parish, Meruba Parish. That's the way the Gemara presents the kasha. The Gemara says, what? You're going to go ahead and take away one of the animals, but it's all kavua b'mkomo. And when it's all kavua b'mkomo, that's going to be like taking minat kavua. So the Gemara says, that's no good. So then the Gemara starts to say, what's the big deal? Why don't you undo the kavuaness? How do you undo the kavuaness? Make them scatter around. Throw some rocks into the animals. Make them all dance around. And then, well, so nothing's kavua anywhere anymore. That's the question of what that means exactly. So the Gemara says, you can't get around kavua. It's gezeira yisrim. It's not going to work. So the Gemara says that to go ahead and just take one of the animals, so that's going to be a problem. That's going to touch on the sugya of kavua. So Tosis has a comment in Maseches Pesachim and other places in Chulin where this comes up. So Tosis says this is a very, very strange kind of a kavua. Tosis says this is not the kavua that we've been talking about up until now. We've been talking about kavua until now. We've been talking about not only is the iser kavua b'mkomo, but the iser is kavua v'nitra b'mkomo. It means I know exactly which is the treif store. I know exactly which is the kosher store. I have 9 kosher, 1 treif, and the treif one says on it, treif, not under RCBC Ashkoch. It's the treif store. So I know exactly which one it is. So the iser is kavua v'nika b'mkomo. It's just I don't remember because I was too busy listening to my shir. I have no idea which store I went into. Or in the case of the mouse, I was watching the mouse, and the mouse ran over to one of the things. I wasn't paying attention which one it ran to. So comes the Tosis and says, in order to be real kavua midaraisa, it has to be kavua b'mkomo, it's got to be nika b'mkomo. If it's not nika b'mkomo, that's not kavua midaraisa anymore. So what does the Gemara mean when it says that this is called kavua? Tosis says, this is kavua midarabanan. This is a set in a lower level of kavua, that if the issue is kavua b'mkomo, even though you happen not to know where it is, because it's also considered to be kavua, but that's only a gzeirah midrabanan. That's not the real makor. That's not the kavua deraisa that the pasuk is talking about. That's not the kavua deraisa that the braisa is talking about. This is a lower level of kavua called kavua midrabanan. So Tosfos proves it has to be that way, because if you don't accept this idea that you need iser nika b'mkomo in order for kavua to be labeled midrabanan. So Tosfos asks the kasha, how do you ever have a bittul barov? How do you ever have a case of bittul barov? You have 3 pieces of meat, they're all sitting on the same table, right? So if I have 2 kosher pieces and 1 treifa piece, they're sitting on the same table, so chad b'tir b'tul, simon kuf tes. So Frekta is a kasha, how could simon kuf tes be true, but I'm the simon kuf yud? I want to go to this table now and take one of the pieces and eat one of the pieces. It's a kavua. It's mamish kavua. How can bittul ever work? Doesn't kavua undermine bittul? So Tosfos says, no, it doesn't undermine bittul because min haTorah, there's no such thing as kavua when it's eno nikar. Whenever it's eno nikar, so then midaraisa, that's not called kavua altogether. So kol zman that midarabanan, and they made a gezeira, namely they said, We don't want to invoke bittul because it's a barrier, because it's a chetichul eskabed, because it's a davar chashuv, it's a bal chai, whatever reason you want to call it. So then midrabban, and they said you can't rely on bittul. But whenever they never instituted bittul, so then they never instituted this chumah midrabban and called kavuah derabbanan. Kavuah derabbanan is another way. It's the flip of the same. It's another way of saying that it's not bittul. But once lamaisa they said that it's bittul, so memela they never instituted b'chagavna a kavuah derabbanan. That's Taisa's whole raya. So other Rishonim aren't so sure that that's right. When did we talk about this? Did we talk about it this year? Think about it in Ksubis this year. We spoke about it in Ksubis. Who was with Ksubis here? The very beginning that Tosfos us about trying to figure out whether this girl is from the Rove or not, right? Right, when you have you're not sure whether Rove Kusim, right, whether she's Jewish or not Jewish, right? Rove Nassim, we spoke about it, about when you say bittul and when you say kavua. So Lamaisa Tosfos has this whole theory. Tosfos has whole yesod that the kavua of Zvachim is not at all the kavua d'araisa of Tzachim. It's not the same kavua as the guy who mamish walked into the stores, because the stores are different because each store is nikkurim kavua. So at the end of the day, there are really three different scenarios of kavua. There's the real kavua d'araisa. That's the guy walking into the store. There's all the characteristics of kavua d'araisa. Why? I myself walked in. So I walked to the makam hakviyos. And the Makam HaKviyos, the Makam HaIsra is Kavua B'mkomo, and it's Nika B'mkomo. So it's got everything going for it. That's for sure, Kavua D'Araisa. Then you have the middle case where everything is Kavua B'mkomo, and everything is Nika B'mkomo, but I didn't walk. The mouse walked in. So that was Tosfos said. You see from the Gemara Psachim that the mouse walking in is like me walking in because it's Piresh Lefaneinu. So that was unclear. Bach, Meshach, Poiskim, and Sim Kufyud. I'm not quite sure whether that second category of Kavua is that mamish kavua midaraisa, is that also kavua midirabanan. Then you have a third case, that's for sure kavua midirabanan. That's what Tosfos proved, that when it's kavua b'mkomo, not nikkur b'mkomo, there's no way anybody could call that kavua midiraisa. That's for sure only a kavua midirabanan. Does it make any difference? So at the end of the day, kavua is also. Whether you're quoting the Sigin Zvachim, quoting the Sigin Psachim, it's all also anyway. Is there any difference? We'll have to see. Go on to try to highlight the possible differences between whether we're in the realm of Kavod Derais or in the realm of Kavod Derabbanan. Next year, we'll try to continue a little bit more.